So we'll give you a couple more minutes here to fill those out, or at least reflect on them in your mind. Hopefully you had a chance to read Numbers 3 and 4. If you forgot to read Numbers 3 and 4, and you're not part of the Remind app, you don't have an excuse. Because I reminded everybody yesterday afternoon. And if you need to be on the Remind app, it's at the bottom of this sheet or at the bottom of the screen. At Numbers Q21, 81010. Those are my digits. You can join. All the cool kids are doing it. There's about one or two people that join every two or three days. Good morning. Try to write these questions in such a way that they're open-ended. I don't know that there's right or wrong answers. Just kind of your thoughts. Here we go, one more minute. Seconds. All right. John Kruger agreed to lead us in the prayer, so he's going to lead us in that prayer before we begin. John.
Almighty Father, we humbly bow in prayer unto you this morning. Father, we give thanks to you for this glorious Lord's Day and all the blessings that we received in this life, Father. Father, we pray for this hour of study. In all the classes this morning, we pray that all the saints will be attentive to that which is taught, that which is discussed. We pray for teachers and leadings of these classes from your very word. And Father, we pray for those who are not with us this morning. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are traveling. And Father, we pray especially for Sarah and Terry as they minister to Christopher during this weekend. We pray that your healing hands will be upon him at this time. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. All right, we're up to class number 5. And again, if you haven't joined the Remind app, join it. Okay. We're going to start right with questions. So question number 1 says, what are some of the major ideas we can learn from Numbers 3 and 4? So this is my 2 cents worth. Again, we're not going to do a ton in here of read this verse, talk about this verse, read this verse, talk about this verse, read this verse, talk about this verse. The expectation is that you're reading outside, not through the trophies, and you're visiting that 20. It makes it a little bit more difficult for that. But if the reason to remind app, or it's on the bottom of your questions, try to keep up on the reading outside of class, because it helps the discussion, it helps you follow some of the things you talked about and things like that. So I just encourage you to do that reading outside of class. It doesn't take that long. And even with almost all of you have this, and when you're driving in your car, you can pull the chapter up and hit read, and it reads to you. I was doing that. I was watching a baseball game yesterday, sitting in my car and just letting numbers play. So even if you're just listening to it, it's going to help with the discussions that we work through. So I just encourage you to keep up on that reading as we go. Good morning. Because it helps all those things. Okay. I don't know what answer to this. You guys tell me an answer. Somebody share something that they read that was interesting or that you quickly found this morning. Who's got something? Don.
God is over organization. He likes organization.
Okay.
He's not a God of chaos.
So Don said, God is a God of organization and not of chaos. We have definitely looked at that a bunch already, and it's absolutely in chapters 3 and chapter 4. Someone give me an example of how God is that way, organized from 3 or 4. Any thoughts?
The way you laid out the camps.
Yeah, you laid out the camps. We just got done with the outside. Today deals with the Levites, which were on the inside around the tent of meeting. But absolutely, that's an organization thing. Any other? Kathy?
God also puts an emphasis on spiritual things require respect.
Yeah, what's the word we almost always use for that? Starts with the R.
Reverence.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point. I'm going to hold off on that thought, but I 100% agree. There is respect and reverence throughout the way that things are presented. Absolutely. Even the fact that God's talking to Moses and then Moses communicates to the children of Israel, I think shows reverence, shows respect. The fact that Moses communicates what has been put forth before him. Other thoughts? Paul?
Yeah. He organized how everything was to be taken care of inside of the temple, the tabernacle, when they got ready to leave, and how it was to be done, and how it was to be
restricted,
and how it was to be only done by certain people.
Good. So Paul says basically everything's laid out, which I didn't have the benefit of being in the Leviticus class, but I'm sure you guys talked a lot about that in Leviticus. That we're kind of just getting a snapshot of all those things that were talked about and laid out, but absolutely, right? Absolutely. Someone else, John, I think. No? Anybody else?
The Levites were specifically chosen for the redemption of all the firstborn.
Okay. Levites were specifically chosen. Is that covered in this section? Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And we're going to get into that a little bit this morning. I think with Zach's comments last class, I think you guys spent a lot of time on that in Leviticus. With the fact that why they were chosen and how they were chosen. Daniel asked, hey, do you want me to cover the Levites or do you want to? And we have a lot of covering numbers, so I'm like, no, you take it. And so they were actually chosen for a purpose, chosen for a reason. And were they numbered in the original census? Everyone check it out like this. Why were they not numbered in the original census? He didn't ask for it. They weren't going to be in the war. Remember, the original census was the men of war. They were not going to serve in that capacity as warriors. They had a different purpose. But they still were servants to God. They still served a purpose. John.
As chapter 3 starts off, it's telling Moses, telling God, telling Moses exactly what to do and how to dedicate the Levites. They're to serve Aaron. And do all those things in detail.
Right.
He doesn't miss a little bit.
What's the theme of the year for us? Trust. Where does all of their information come from? From Moses, who gets it from God. I don't know how they couldn't have trusted God. Who was feeding them? God. Who was providing water? God. And what did they see when they left Egypt? They saw God, because they should have seen him through the things that happened. But I think those are all good points. All right, anything else? I think those are good. Mike.
So there's a, and again, this would take a long time to get into deeply, but in chapter 4, we're told about the sons of Kohath and how they should be responsible for the articles of the temple, the special yes. articles.
Yes.
And somebody said it earlier about reverence and how it is that God is concerned about holy things.
Yes.
One of the other books we're going to teach, Lord willing, in the fourth quarter of this year is the book of Daniel. And there's a scene in the book of Daniel that is pretty powerful. I'd just like to read a couple of verses.
Yeah, yeah.
In Daniel chapter 5, verse 1.
Daniel 5, verse 1, if you want to turn in.
Thinking about these articles of silver and gold and the special things that God's telling them to cover in numbers and to take special respect for. Chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast with thousands of his lords. And drank wine in the presence of the thousand. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem. That the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines might drink from, they brought the gold vessels that they had been taken from the temple of the house of God and had in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines drank from. Wow. Think about that in the context of what we're studying in Numbers. Verse 4, they drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone from God's vessels. Verse 5, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster on the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand wrote, and the king's countenance changed. You bet it did. I find that just to be a humbling series of scripture in respect of what we're studying in Numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Numbers is interesting because we get a lot of little, tiny little snippets of things that have been referenced elsewhere in God's Word. But again, it's going to get to one of the later questions. But remember, chapters 1 through 10-ish, they're at the base of Mount Sinai, wherever that may have been, and they're preparing to leave to enter Canaan. And that was the purpose. Whether they followed through on that or not, we've talked about that. The intention, even though God knew what was going to happen when the spies entered the land and exited the land, the intention was that they were going to take it over. God is preparing them for that. And it's just, it's amazing the detail and the things. And in Numbers, we just read a tiny little piece. But again, you guys came from Leviticus, which all of it is very dialed out and very explained.
The seriousness of the ark and the death that encountered by Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I was studying last night and I was thinking, I don't know, anybody coached a team of any sort? We always complain in baseball because if you're a basketball coach, you just show up, turn on the lights, and you get to play basketball. Football, you just show up and use the field. Baseball is, we get to coach as much as the other coaches, and we also get to spend, I don't know a number, whatever number I make up will be purely made up. But we spend a lot of time managing the field because in baseball, the field makes a difference. So I've said that to say this. You take 20 baseball players, and you go to the field, and you're like, hey, you go lead the warning track, you go rake third base, and you go do the mound. And that's all you say to them. Do you know what happens? They all go out there, and they just stand and stare at. I don't know if it's because they don't know what to do, or if they don't care, but I'm going to mess the saying up, but there's some saying that says, what is it, one, five workers is as good, I don't remember what it is. But you take one worker and you get a lot of work. And you put like three workers together and you get less work than the one would have done. Because the other two distract the one. So I have to take those players out to the pitcher's mound. And I say, I want this, 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 and this done. Very specific. Because I'm a little Let's just say I'm the guy that works on the field. Now, I leave them alone and I go back. Did they do what I asked? They probably did like 1 and 2 perfectly. They did half of 3 and they forgot about 4. So even when I give them very specific instructions on what needs to be done, just so we can play, it still doesn't get done to its completeness. Okay? Okay, children of Israel. God is very specific in the instructions he gives. Does that mean that they didn't make mistakes? Still made mistakes. What was the purpose of the Levites? To take care of the tent of meeting, to take care of all that stuff, and to protect them. Right? To watch over them. To share those things. And I think it's important to reflect and understand that the God is not a God that just says, hey, go work on the warning track. He's a God who provides what they needed. He provides us what we need. But where does the responsibility fall? It falls on us or them, right? God provided them everything they needed, showed them his power in their exit of Egypt, and then simply says, go into the promised land and take it over. And they doubt, and they don't trust where they need to trust. I think it's all, it's fascinating because, myself, pointing the finger at me, I'm very guilty of saying, oh, the Israelites, they had no idea what they were doing. If I was there, God, I don't think so. Because if I was someone that didn't make mistakes, or you were someone that didn't make mistakes, Jesus' death wouldn't be needed for me. But that is absolutely not true. We needed Jesus' death because we do fall short. We do make mistakes. And then on top of that, on Wednesday night, I think we did a pretty good job going through the camp. I don't know that I did a good enough job pointing out every single person that was camped, when they were camped, where were they supposed to be facing? The tent of meeting. Why? Because that's where God was. Why? Because it reminded them that God was in their midst, not somewhere far off. God was in their midst. And even when, like, they had a question, it's like, hey, Moses, where would Moses go? To the spot where they were all looking. God would say what he said, and then Moses would come out. Like, it's like that. The people of children of Israel should have understood and known who God was. God was in their midst. And God had the power to take care of what needed to be taken care of. I think we can see a lot of that. Other thoughts? Yeah. I agree. Okay. Let's sneak to this next slide here. I have a couple books I'm reading from. Every once in a while, we're going to steal some stuff from them. It's their thoughts, but I happen to like them. This says there are over 70 references to the Levites in Numbers, more than any other Old Testament book. Their distinct census emphasizes the special part they were to play in the spiritual life of Israel. We can look at those verses, but chapter 3 and chapter 4 show their role in the story of God's people. They served a purpose. They were helpers. Right? Duties were exclusively assigned. We kind of talked about that. Chapter 3, verse 4. Let's read that real quick. Chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever's there first, read it for me.
Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And they had no children, so Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of their father Aaron.
Leviticus chapter 10, I'm sure you guys already talked about Nadab and Abihu. What happened? Why? Why did they die? They did something other than God had commanded, period. Right? I think that's important because it shows that just like we can make mistakes, the Levites, the priests, also had a responsibility to do the right thing. It wasn't just like, I don't know if this is the right word. They weren't puppets. They still had their own responsibility to understand what needed to be done as they were protecting and serving the children of Israel, or serving with, but as doing those things. They weren't just these people that couldn't do any wrong. They can make mistakes just as we can. We talked about this a little bit already. This is that picture of the camp But you have the Levites in here in the middle, priests out here, and again, surrounding and all facing Tent of Meeting, which is important. I think it's there for a reason. It talks about it, right? This is a picture of the Tent of Meeting, which, again, the pixels aren't great, but this is all explained in chapter 4, right? Chapter 4. Everything that went in the city meeting, all those things, which again, for the nature of this class, we're not going to go into each individual piece, but it is all there. It was laid out for them, the purpose, the way it was done. Each of God's people had their own responsibilities, even if it was fighting. Again, let's not forget, others served as well. They needed cooperation to reach the promised land. Somebody tell me 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What is it? We don't need to read it, do we? Somebody give me a two-minute explanation. I guess if we need to turn there, we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What's it talk about? In the Corinthian church, it was dealing with spiritual gifts. But what was the point? They all had their own responsibilities. And those responsibilities were to be used properly. And we can read verses that talk about every joint supplies. And we can talk about that we're all working together. I don't think it's by accident that when we look at the children of Israel, each individual piece had its responsibility. And for the children of Israel to do what needed to be done to properly serve God, they all had to work together out. That's no different than for us. As people of God, we all have our own strengths. We all have our own, I would say, responsibilities. We can read verses where we're not to sit idly, right? So even if it's just the fact that whatever work you can do, it's something, that's our responsibility. Just as the children of Israel had their responsibilities, even if it was a warrior. Levites certainly had other responsibilities, but they had the responsibilities and it had to be taken care of. And if it wasn't taken care of properly, Zach reminded us Wednesday, about Uzzah, right? Was that 2 weeks ago? I did all this together. Zach recently read the story of Uzzah, and that they weren't properly transporting the ark. And as a result, we know what happened. Captain?
Yes, each person's work was vital to the work of the Lord. There was no task that was trivial.
Yeah, that's a good statement. Kathy said there's no task trivial, right? No task that was trivial. Every task was equally important. Because if all tasks didn't get put together, it was a problem. Kathy.
So what God is doing with this tabernacle arrangement of all the tribes around in certain areas, and they're going to be like that for the next 38 years or so. So he's creating this microcosm of what the promised land will look like. Because if he can get them organized now so that it's just second nature to camp where they're supposed to, do what they're supposed to, when they finally get to this much larger land and he separates them among the different land areas, it will be easier for them to acclimate. And of course, by extension, it's the same for us. So if we have become accustomed to doing what God has asked us to do, then it will be much easier as we walk toward that path toward eternity.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Jerusalem, yeah. That was the center, and then everybody, that's a great point. It's not a change. It all is continually moving in a similar fashion. It wasn't like one day they woke up and everything changed. It all related to each other. That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that. Good point. Okay. Question number two. What do you guys think? Question number two says, what should the requirement of the firstborn remind Israelites of? We already talked about this word.
God's faithfulness.
Okay. They left Israel, they left Egypt. Firstborn of the Egyptians was taken, but there was also that the first firsts. Mike always talks about the firsts, right? The first was for who? For God. The first are for God. The first of our things should be for God. Again, not an accident, not by coincidence. Yeah, Father. Right. Exodus chapter 32 is also a good thing to read when we're dealing with this. So let's read that real quick. Exodus 32. We're going to be verses 25 and through 29. Exodus 32, 25 through 29. I have a volunteer to read that. Exodus 32, 25-29.
Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control, to the point of being an object of ridicule among their enemies, Moses then stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And he said to them, "This is what the Lord of God, the God of Israel, says. Every man of you put his sword on his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Dedicate yourselves today to the Lord. For every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today."
Good. There's a lot going on. Did you guys talk about this in Leviticus? There's a lot going on. Who? It says Aaron had what? Lost control. So the Levites went and did what? They protected the camp. They killed the ones that were the problem. So that there you have the Levites protecting the children of Israel. Aaron, one way or another, doesn't have the ability to control the people. But then we read later that Levites are to help, right? That's the purpose of them helping, that they were to cleanse and clean and keep pure. And so, again, the Levites absolutely served a purpose, and it was not by accident. It was by design. By design. I think it's a big thing. Other thoughts? The Levites took place of, what do we have that takes place of? Did I have to sacrifice Hannah? I guess she's a female anyway, she's not a cook. Why? Why don't I have to sacrifice anything? That doesn't sound right, but I think you know what I mean.
Jesus took the place.
What do we do? What do we start every single week with? We start with remembering that Jesus died. We turn ourselves. Zach and I were having an interesting conversation. Where do we always sit? Normally, in traditions. But you walk into a church building, where do you normally sit facing? Most of the time, you're facing the emblems. You're facing the things that are to remind us of God, how God loved us, that God sent his son, and that Jesus died. He took our place so that we didn't have to. Because that's what we deserve. Levites showed surrender and substitution in a similar fashion. Levites serving in the place of their firstborn, we've talked about that. Question number three is interesting. Did you guys have if you didn't have a chance to read, let's pick that up real quick. Numbers chapter 3, beginning of verse 40. Numbers chapter 3, verse 40. But if we pick up verse 39, Numbers Numbers chapter 3, verse 39. It says that the firstborn of the Israelites numbered what? 22,000, yeah. Verse 43, how many did the Levites number? Backwards. Right? 39 is the Levites. 39, 22,000 is the Levites. 43 is the number of the firstborn. There's a difference of how many people? 243. Okay? So then in verse 45, it says, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel and the cattle of the Levites, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. Verse 46, for the ransom of the 273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel who are in excess, so there's more firstborns in Israel than there are Levites. But remember, the Levites took the place, right? So there's a discrepancy of 243 there. What's that?
273.
What did I say? 273. Numbers. I actually had this thought last night. This is a completely random thought. Most of you know what I do for a living. What do I do for a living? I'm a math teacher. I don't know by accident or design, I'm teaching numbers. I hadn't even thought about that until last night. So you guys can see how my studies go. They're all over the place. But it's like, maybe that's why, I think this point is important for a lot of reasons, but maybe because I like numbers. How did they take care of the excess of numbers? The 273. It's a little bit, it's just right underneath. What does it say? They had a ransom. The Levites were taking place of, but there wasn't enough Levites to cover, so they had to cover it with the ransom. Again, that is not completely random. Leviticus chapter 27. I don't know if you guys spent any time on this, but Leviticus 27, Leviticus 27 and verse 6. Leviticus 27 and verse 6. And again, just randomly pulling one verse out of it. But Leviticus 27 verse 6 says, if the person is from a month old up to 5 years old, the valuation shall be for a male 5 shekels of silver, for the female valuation of 3 shekels of silver. That was basically what the child was worth in slave trade. 5 shekels. So the money in numbers takes place of, all the families had a responsibility for that firstborn. Levites took care of that, but there wasn't enough Levites to take care of all of them. So they still had to, settle up even, I don't know. I think it's interesting that the responsibility is still there. Sometimes we like to think, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, it's there, and they had to take care of it. And if they didn't take care of it, it was going to be a problem. And it's reference. It's not just random, it's reference, which again, I think is huge. The Levites were to cleanse and purify and protect. Do we have that today? Whose responsibility is that today?
It's ours.
Absolutely, Rachel. Absolutely. Matthew 18. Again, I apologize for randomly pulling verses out of stories, but Matthew 18, verse 15. I'm sure there's more examples than the few that I have written down. But Matthew 18, 15. If your brother, that's you guys and me, if your brother sins, go and show him his faults in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. And again, we use that for a lot of other things. But who holds the responsibility? I do. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Isn't that helping to protect and purify and take care of? Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Individuals. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 14. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very high in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Who is that? Who's the responsibility in there? All of us. Who also, though? God's design is that we have elders. Elders have the responsibility to shepherd the flock. But again, I like in that verse because it says that, but then it also says what? It's all of us. Sometimes we get into the habit of, the elders will take care of it. That is absolutely false of what the Bible teaches. It's all of our responsibilities. It absolutely is. 1 Timothy 5:19. 1 Timothy 5:19. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the bias of two or three witnesses. There's a reason for that. Right? That's, you hold the elder to a higher esteem. We need to make sure that we're properly dealing with that. James chapter 5, last one. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns back from him, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Who has that responsibility? We do. We have that responsibility. And I think it's important to make the connection that we share in that responsibility, as the Levites had their responsibilities. We got 5 minutes. Anybody want to share anything from question number 4?
So what do you suppose was done with the 5 shekels for those 273 people?
It's a good question.
Who was responsible for the money?
Yeah, I would assume it's Aaron and his sons. I don't know that I didn't really, I don't know, does it say somewhere? I can't say that I researched that. Patty's question was, what do you think they did with the shekels that they collected? And Shauna pointed out it was probably Aaron and his sons that had responsibility for it, but what did they do with it? Did anybody know?
Well, they didn't have their own property and their own stuff, right? So they were being always paid and for their protection and their services.
Yeah.
That was a form of one of the first steps into establishing them in their priesthood.
Right.
And then part of, once they got into the promised land, too, there was a group set at each city, too, as part of a, I don't want to use protection for it, but they were there to help administer.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just a way to build up their priesthood.
Yeah, I don't, this is me going like this. I don't know. It's interesting. So this question says, this is from last class, it's kind of your homework. Why do you believe God communicated what he did so far, and why are these things important? I know Numbers is Numbers, and I know there's other books that say exactly the same thing and put them in order, but let's talk about specifically in Numbers. They're sitting at the base of Mount Sinai. In the first four chapters, what has God now covered? Men of war, the warriors. So this, you're going to enter the land and you're going to have to battle, right? He's set up the organization of the camp, which again, Patty pointed out, is even shadowing into the future, right? And then what's the third thing he's taking care of now? The spiritual, physical things with the Levites. Those are the first three things he covered, which I think is important, right? He's preparing the children of Israel to enter into the land of Canaan. And as we're reading it in 2021, those are the first three things he covered. Warriors. But more importantly, I don't know if I can use this loosely. I'm going to use the word work. Even the warriors were working for a purpose, right? Daddy. Daddy. The organization of the camp, there was work to be done. There were people that were assigned to do that. The Levites were working. The main focus, I think, in the first four chapters is the work that, which again we talked about this morning, but the work that needed to be done to properly serve God. I think that's important. And we have the same responsibility that we are workers. Yes, in a spiritual sense now, but we have that responsibility. Mike.
What's a natural reaction for something that is given to you free? Prosperity in life, money, any sort of gift sometimes. You look at that and you say to yourself, well, great, I don't have to do anything else then. I'm good. You know, the grace of God has just been given to me so I can do whatever I want to. You know, I've been given prosperity or talent or some sort of health in life. I can just use it to my personal benefit. That is clearly not what's talked about here, which flies directly in the face of oftentimes the cynical way we might look at current culture, is that people look at it as just given to them so they can do what they want for their own personal benefit.
And I think the word grace itself.
The often concept of, like, give as you are prospered. Well, we often say, well, you've been prospered in lots of ways financially, so, or whatever way in life, you know, so you should look at that. You know, feed the poor, take care of yourself. I mean, every time we're given something in life, these instructions tell us to do something with them. Work, as you're saying, with them to the glory of God. And that sometimes goes against what we're taught in society.
Absolutely. And I think, let's not get far away from our theme. I think the work that we do shows our trust in the Lord also. That we're not sitting idle. Good. Other thoughts? We're out of time. Next class, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 5. So it's on the bottom of a sheet there if you have a sheet. But I'll throw it up here on the screen until Zach switches it out for me. This is all random stuff that I have that if we ever get time, we're going to get to it. That's why you see me flip through it at the end of the class every time. Clearly, we may never get to it. But Numbers chapter 5 deals with the keeping of the camp. Deals with keeping the camp clean. Why is this so important? Which again, we're not magically stopping at chapter 4. But now that he's dealt with the Levites, now he's going to start dealing with cleansing the camp. It's not an accident. I appreciate everybody's time and attention.